The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Labor Day. I'm Dr. Pettirudi. This is Intellectual Medicine 120. I'm here with Shannon, with Nick behind the glass. Good morning, Nick. So very impressed that Nick is wearing a Bryce Cotton jersey, an authentic practice Bryce Cotton jersey. And I'm a big Providence College fan. I grew up watching Providence College at Alumni Hall. Nick, you probably don't know what Alumni Hall is. Jimmy Walker, I used to watch him. I'll never forget. I'm watching Providence College basketball. A little kid sitting behind this lady with that beehive hairdo. The thing was about 4 feet tall, and I couldn't see anything. And I'm ducking around, and I'm trying to keep score. You know, I used to keep score.
Yep.
Yeah, Jimmy Walker was remarkable, and Alumni Hall used to rock.
Alumni Hall is where they still practice.
Well, I know, but imagine seeing a game there.
I know.
The place was
3,000 people packed in there.
How's the team going to look this year?
Oh, God. You don't want to know. Lost everybody.
Well, look, at there are stars waiting to be born.
Right.
It's the unknown commodity that's going to propel us forward.
Right. Kyron Cartwright. That's our guy.
Kyron Cartwright.
There
you
we
heard
go.
It here first, folks. All
Kyron
right.
Cartwright.
Go, Kyron. Well, we're going to be reaching out to PC over the course of the year. Maybe we can help them out with some of our energy drip, Shannon. What do you think? I think that would be good for them. We have a drip for athletes, don't we?
We do. It's our athlete drip.
Our athlete trip.
I know. We need to rename. We're getting there.
That's really clever. So as it turns out, folks, your body gets depleted on a cellular level of many of its antioxidants and the constituents that enable you to function at your highest and best level. And we've designed an intravenous drip to bypass the limitations of gastric absorption to enable people to recover more quickly after intense exercise and to perform better prior to activity. So if you're someone who runs a 5K and likes to do, what's that thing where they jump over hurdles, a mud rucker? What do they call that thing?
The Spartan races?
There you go, Spartan race. I have no idea why you want to run through mud. But if that's your thing, I'm all with you. Go ahead and get your IV beforehand. Remember that training as an athlete is damaging to your health on a certain level. There is such a thing as too much exercise with regard to cardiovascular fitness and longevity, and if you're mindful of that, you can protect yourself from that consequence. Now, we all have read stories about athletes developing a chronic encephalitis from head trauma, and that's a good example of a delayed effect of chronic exposure to corrosive elements of your health. We notice that when an athlete takes a hit to the head, they don't become demented in the next 10 years. It usually happens years later, decades later. And that's a great example of a delayed consequence to chronic exposure of things that are corrosive to our health. So tying it into athleticism, I don't imply that you ought not to enjoy sport, but that you should not perceive as more being better with regard to longevity. And we need to be mindful of the fact that intense activities can create a free radical cascade that is corrosive to our health. Well, I spent last weekend visiting Chicago, where I have some relatives. It was a wonderful trip. I did get an opportunity to see my aunt. And it made me think about what we're doing here and the importance of our work. You know, we call our show Intellectual Medicine 120 because we believe in helping people achieve their genetic potential for their lifespan. And that genetic potential is 120 years. It's funny, you know, lawyers, I love our attorneys, by the way. You know, Pannone and Associates, these guys are great. They're a wonderful team, guys. Thanks for all your support. You know, but they tend to be very conservative and risk adverse. And they were saying, well, you know, maybe you should call your show Intellectual Medicine like 100 so you don't overpromise. I said, but wait, no. The research is in. We know that the human species can last at least 120 years. How do we know that? Number one, people have lived 120 years. That's pretty objective evidence that it can be done. Number two, based on mathematical calculations of cellular lifespan, the cells based on something known as a Hayflick equation. You don't need to know that detail. Suffice it to say that the best science projects cells can last 120 years. So the question now turns to, why don't we all make it there? And why do we age so rapidly? That's right, age so rapidly. Don't look at current aging as a model to be emulated. When we look at an 80-year-old woman and we say, boy, she's getting around okay. Look at her with her cane and she's getting around. All right, that was good for 1950s. It's no longer adequate today. For the first time in the span of human history, we have the science, we have the technology, and we have the means to safely extend youth and to safely expand lifespan. And that's what we do at Intellectual Medicine 120. And we started here in Warwick. And although we are a growing entity, we look to become not an anomaly, but a movement. And I tell my patients every time we're working together, we're part of the new wave. Sit at a table and look around at 10 people your age and watch how you're going to separate from them over time. You're going to be the one that stays lean, preserves vitality. But you got to start now, folks. So here I am with my aunt, and I'm going to tie this back in. Stay with me. Oh, by the way, if you want to interrupt me with a phone call, go ahead. Right? We don't have any guests lined up today, right, Shan? So it's just you and I.
We don't. It is.
It's just us. Just us. So here I am talking to my 89-year-old aunt. Now, she no longer can stand or walk. She's lost her functional capacity. Her brain is generally intact, though she's lost some memory. Now, why did this happen to a woman who ate well, didn't smoke, remained socially active? The answers are multifaceted. I can tell you that right now it's being considered a consequence of neuropathy or damage to her nerves. Nobody knows why. Well, you know what? We don't look for causes. We don't look at prevention when it matters the most. And when it matters the most is right now between the ages of 30 and 60, and it's never too late to bend the arc of your future. Everybody sitting around listening to me right now, congratulations. You're part of the intellectual movement. Why? Because you're listening to WPRO. That means you're cut above. Intellectual medicine in the extended lifespan is not for everybody. It requires a philosophical departure from passive aging, from fatalistic conclusions. The genetics are no more predictive of your future than astrology. Now, we live in an era of the Genome Project where everybody likes to think, hey, you know what? It's tied to a genetic outcome. You know, my parents lived to be 90. I have good genes. You know, cancer runs in my family. Folks, genetics are a minor component of your health. The majority of it has to do with environmental variables, from the weight you carry to the hormones you replace or don't replace to the toxins you're exposed to and how you protect yourself. Prevention is possible, but it requires an intellectual insight. I sit here talking to you. I'm age 57. I feel great. My brain's working fine. But what I know is at age 85, 50% of Americans have a degree of dementia. Half have a degree of dementia. Now, that's not genetics. That's environment. We've been talking a lot over the past several weeks of heavy metal. And, Shen, we still have that heavy metal testing available. It's a provocative test at our center. Tell our audience a tad about that.
We do all through September. So it's $149. It takes about 20 minutes to administer, and you get results back in about 10 days.
All right. The administration part is an intravenous infusion of calcium EDTA, an FDA-approved provocative agent that pulls lead and other heavy metals out of its hiding places in your bone and in your cells. We then test what comes out in the urine in order to determine how much heavy metal's been accumulated in your body over your lifespan. We're not talking about just being exposed last week or last month, but rather what's been stored up. Now, we know there's a correlation between the amount of lead that is stored in your body and your intelligence. The more lead, the more corrosion to the brain. At its extreme, that becomes dementia and Parkinsonism and other neurodegenerative diseases. By the time you know you're having it, it's too late to do much about it. It's harder to control. So we're going to be back after the break. I'm going to tell you more about my aunt and about how you can live the vital 120 years. Stay with me. It's Dr. Pedderuti in Intellectual Medicine, WPRO. I am back. Am I back, Nick? I'm back. He says yes. I was just having too much fun rocking a Saturday Night Fever.
Then,
what's that, baby?
Was that your pick of music?
It would have been my pick. I think Nick did a brilliant job. Tony Manera, Vinnie Barbarino, John Travolta in his prime. In his prime, you know, if John Travolta were coming to see us, we'd have him lean and fit and looking good. He'd still be the Pulp Fiction John Travolta. Anyhow, so there I am with my 89-year-old aunt, thinking about, I wish he had stepped into my center and let me help her. You know, it's really hard sometimes when you're endowed with all of this knowledge and experience, watching people around you suffer the ravages of conditions that you know you can help. But let's back it up. So there she is at 89, you know, never expecting to be in this position where she cannot walk, and every day it's a challenge just to get to the bathroom. Folks, that is not how you want to spend your last chapter of life. The last chapter of life should be vital, active, and strong. When I say people can live to be 120 years, their first reaction is, oh, I don't think I want to live that long, because they have an image of it being decrepit. That is not the case. You don't get to live a long span unless you're vital. So I had a woman in my weight loss group this week said, why is it that we shrink? You shrink, folks, because you're losing your hormones and your bones reabsorb. So if my aunt, when she had the chance, and unfortunately this technology and the awareness didn't exist when she was in her prime, had addressed heavy metal toxins, had replaced her hormones, there's good evidence that doing it properly can preserve your brain, preserve your bone, preserve your muscle, keep you strong and active. You wonder, when was the first time a 89-year-old aunt realized she was losing a step? You don't go from being active to being stuck in a chair in an instant. It's that, gee, it's a little harder getting up the stairs moment. That is a leading edge of a storm that needs to be addressed right away. Now, if you happen to be past 60, past 70, it doesn't mean that there's no opportunity to revitalize your health. So I had a patient in my practice, he's 94. And he said, you know, doc, when I'm walking now, I notice my balance is a little bit off. So how do you address that? Well, conventional medicine might say, hey, get a cane. We stop and say, why is that balance off? And we look at neurologic health, and we look at muscle power. The ability to make minor corrections as you walk is a consequence of neurologic function and muscular power. We started him on antioxidant and hormone replacement therapy, and 6 months later, he has gained 2 pounds of muscle mass and no longer feels concerned when walking. At age 94, he started his, if you will, his anti-aging medicine, revitalization. Another woman in our practice, she's 86, and she has concerned that she was starting to lose her independence. You know, the greatest gift you can give to the people who love you and surround you is preservation of your health and vitality. Occasionally, you'll run into that type of person. Oh, I'm too busy. Now I got to take care of X, Y, and Z. I've got things to do. People depend upon me, and they are perpetually projecting outward their need at the same time neglecting their inward health. We see this a lot. You know, Shannon, we see it a lot with young women starting families, where all of a sudden the compelling demand of being a mother, of being a wife, of managing a home seems like the most important thing in the world. And you see them let go of their fitness, let go of their health. Their weight creeps up, their energy diminishes, and they start making this dangerous self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, of course I'm tired and low in energy. I'm busy. I'm busy too. Everybody's busy. When you are properly balanced with your hormones, with your cellular health, don't fade in the afternoon from energy. You have abundant energy all the way until bedtime. And if that's not your circumstance, it deserves to be explored. Now we're not talking about conventional medicine. And you know, we love our colleagues in conventional medicine for the most part. They are great. at putting out fires. If you're having a heart attack, you call 911. They are there for you. If you're not feeling great, your energy's fading, you want to live longer and healthier, that's on you. So I've heard people say, gosh, shouldn't insurance pay for that? No more so than should they pay for the maintenance of your automobile. This is your prerogative and your choice. So let's go back to the young mother and connect it to the 89-year-old aunt. Thus begins the downward spiral. If you don't take the time to focus on your own health, it is a form of selfishness. If you're a parent, you're not being as good a parent as you can be. If you're a child, you're negligent in your own health. It is a form of selfishness, because what's the natural progression? If you're so busy caring for others that you cannot take care of yourself, well, there's a presumption that somebody's going to take care of you. And that somebody is, you're going to impose that on someone. It's going to be your children. It's going to be your brothers and sisters. Now, listen, I understand calamity occurs, and thank God we have others to care for us when that happens. That's different than the self-fulfilling consequence of progressive neglect of our own vitality. And now we have those choices in front of us, those options. Maintaining our youthful vitality is a new wave of medicine. We are bringing it to you. We broke away from conventional medicine because conventional medicine would rather you stay chronically ill, a little bit overweight, if not a lot overweight, dependent on polypharmacy, dependent on the government. If it weren't for my insurance, I don't know what I would do. I have 8 medicines I need to take. Really? Let's bust out of that mentality. You realize, I've said this before, if it were listed as a cause of death, medical care would be the number 3 cause of death in America, right behind cancer and heart disease. It's not listed that way. You know, they put a new emphasis on preventing medical errors in hospitals. So what's the result? Well, in Massachusetts in 2014, there were 821 significant medical errors recorded. In 2015, after they redoubled their efforts, it went up to 1,313. You go to the hospital at your own risk. I mean, if you have to go there, so be it. But there's been a progression of loss of accountability. Once upon a time, your doctor went to the hospital and took care of you. That no longer takes place. They now have a hired cadre of doctors not working for you. They work for the hospital. And they treat you like a piece of equipment. They are shift workers waiting to punch the clock and go home. Now, I'm not implying that they don't care. It is human nature, however, that it is harder to care for someone with whom you don't have a significant emotional bond. There's no longer your doctor at the bedside. You know, in intellectual medicine, we're restoring that element. There's no longer a vigorous effort to keep you out of the hospital. Ironically, as insurance has become disproportionate in what it pays for, it'll pay for you to go to the emergency room. It will not pay for you to stay out of it. So more and more people now are being drawn into hospitals because the Obamacare and its consequences have been a great relief to hospitals. It's been a boon for hospitals and pharmaceuticals. The best path is to stay out of the hospital. The best way to do that is to be proactive, restoring your health. If you're not on your hormones, get them evaluated. If you don't know what your heavy metal level is, get it tested. If you're suffering from minor chronic illnesses and muscle aches, consider that the leading edge of future deterioration. In intellectual medicine, we buck against the trend of overuse of antibiotic. You know, recently, I know, Shannon, you saw this as well, gonorrhea has become almost untreatable. That's frightening. I mean, you were working at Planned Parenthood. How much gonorrhea did you see there?
Oh, every day. Really, it's scary.
Okay. Now,
I can't tell you exactly how many.
I don't mean to laugh at the epidemic of gonorrhea, but what crossed my mind just then is that in Rhode Island, we now have a budget. We have money from billions of dollars are pouring in to fight Zika. Now, listen, Zika is horrible when it happens, but it's ironic to me that the federal government has chosen that and gone after it with zeal. You know, looking to prevent Zika in Rhode Island is like trying to prevent frostbite at the equator. It just doesn't exist here. Where is that public outcry about gonorrhea? Where is it, Chan? I haven't seen it. Have you read about that? Is it a headline?
No, nothing.
Nobody's going after that. Well, you know, there's an overuse of antibiotics. When you go to see the doctor with a sore throat, 9 times out of 10, you walk out with an antibiotic. Why? It's your door prize for showing up. They got to do something, folks, and they don't know what the hell to do with a sore throat, so you throw an antibiotic at it. All right, we'll talk more. We'll be back shortly, guys. And now, from the Seascape News Center, Doug Lozell with the updates.
And good morning, Doctor. At 8:30, some of the headlines we're following for you at WPRO News. The federal government has banned more than a dozen chemicals that have been used for a long time in antibacterial soaps. The Food and Drug Administration says that manufacturers have never shown that the chemicals are safe or that they really kill germs. The FDA's Drug Center says there's no scientific evidence that the antibacterials, which will be coming off the shelves, are any better than regular soap and water. The G20 summit in China is the first stop on President Barack Obama's final swing through Asia. As the United States president, he's planning to spotlight U.S.-Chinese cooperation on climate change. Also, the tension that exists between China and cyber hacking issues. And Anchorage, Alaska residents are increasingly concerned. This is following a rash of unsolved homicides. 9 people have turned up dead on trails and parks near Anchorage since the first of the year. 3 of the cases involve 2 people being murdered at a time. It's the largest city in Alaska. WPRO Sports, the Red Sox clean up against the A's, 16-2 Yankees. Bruised badly by the Orioles, 8-0. Paw Sox lose to Syracuse, the final there, 1-0. And from the New England Truck Solutions Traffic Center, here's your Burger King Regional Traffic Now with Rich Teeter. Hi, Rich.
Dave Gardner here,
Dave
Doug.
Gardner, I apologize, Dave.
And you know, there is some slow traffic, Doug, in South County, Route 1 South and North Kingstown at Route 4, Route 4 South and North Kingstown by West Allenton, South Kingstown. Both sides right at the intersection of 1A and 108, also in South Kingstown heading south on Tower Hill, approaching 1A. Otherwise, things are okay in the Providence area. No problems up in Northern Rhode Island and Blackstone Valley. Route 6 and 44 out to Connecticut are okay. The Iway Bridge looks good, as does the airport connector. That's your Burger King Regional Right Now traffic. You know, at Burger King right now, they are doing the mix and match. Choose from the extra long cheeseburger, original chicken sandwich, and extra long fish sandwich. Any 2 for just $5 only at Burger King, where taste is king. I'm Dave Gardner on WPRO.
Southern New England Weekends on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO. He's twisted, he's warped, he's unelectable, and he's on the radio Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. He's John Laughlin, the former congressional candidate and retired Army helicopter pilot, here to take a look at politics, pop culture, and 21st century life. John Laughlin, every Saturday from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. on the voice of Southern New England, News Talk 630 at 99.7 FM WPRO.
Think you're fat? You might just be bloated. Find out by calling now for a free trial of Nubiotics, the new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. For a free trial, call 1-800-400-1701. Strict limit of 1 per household.
I used to be plagued by pot belly and constant bloating. After taking Nubiotics, my belly flattened and continues to get flatter. My sense of bloating and discomfort is gone.
If you've got a big belly, you might not be fat. You might just be bloated. Nubiotics is scientifically formulated with natural ingredients to flatten bloated bellies fast by cleansing pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body. It even combats periodic heartburn and acid reflux. If your belly flattening results are too dramatic, simply reduce use to every other day. Think you might be bloated? See how much flatter Nubiotics makes your belly. But hurry! Call now for details while we're still giving it away for free. 1-800-400-1701. That's 1-800-400-1701. 1-800-400-1701.
The Home Depot is covering more ground with big savings this Labor Day weekend. Right now, get Earth Grow colored mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Retain more moisture in your soil and give your yard a richer color that will last long past the holiday. Up to 12 months guaranteed. Get fewer touch-ups and more color with Labor Day savings on Earth Grow colored mulch. Now 5 bags for just $10. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid through September 11th, limit 60 bags per customer.
Did you know the flu shot takes up to 2 weeks to take effect? That's why I'm getting my flu shot now, so I can outsmart the flu before there's an outbreak. At Walgreens, your flu shot even helps give a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Get a shot, give a shot. Doubly smart. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2017, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Learn more at walgreens.com/get a shot. Vaccine restrictions apply.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudy. Join Dr. Pettirudy as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudy.
Hi, everybody. I am back here with Shannon, Nick behind the glass, and Doug keeping us updated on the latest news reports regarding the antibacterial soap. You know, folks, that ties into what we're talking about, gonorrhea and drug resistance. Overuse of antibiotics is eroding the quality of antibiotic effectiveness. Furthermore, it exposes you to risk. One cycle, 10 days of antibiotics, will disrupt your bacterial balance in your gut for up to one whole year. That's called the microbiome. It's an area of medicine that has been highly neglected and is now an area of intense research. Very impressed by a patient in our practice, Shannon. I saw them. I saw their children. You know, these children are now 7 and 8 years old. They have never had an antibiotic in their life. Now, good for them, but that takes a little bit of parental resolve and intellectual reflection. Now, what we do at our center with these type of viral illnesses, bronchitis, ear infections, sore throat. Have you ever heard this one, Chan, in your clinical practice? I developed this cough and I want to nip it in the bud. I want to start an antibiotic before it becomes pneumonia. That sound familiar?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Folks, zero merit. Zero merit. In fact, you may well accelerate the tendency to develop pneumonia by premature overuse of antibiotic. Now, at our center, we have an immunity drip intended to kill bacteria and virions with high-dose vitamin C administered intravenously. What's great about that? It's utterly safe. You will not disrupt the bacterial balance in your gut. You will not create bacterial resistance. 70% of antibiotics used in the United States are put in animal feed. So in addition to avoiding antibiotics, you want to be eating as much as you can, clean and organic. So the gonorrhea story. By the way, folks, this is Intellectual Medicine. I am Dr. Pettirudy. We are the voice of independence, of intellectual insight, and as such, I feel obliged to disavow the commercial you may have heard regarding new biotics. There is absolutely no scientific validity to anything that they have alleged, and it is not a product that we endorse. In fact, we only endorse things we believe in and have evidence to support. And because we are independent and because we have not figured out a way to make money doing what we're doing, we stay that way. We're like the Ralph Nader of medicine, right? How's that working for you, Shan?
Not so great. We got to work on that next couple of weeks.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we can pay our mortgage this week, right? We're good?
We're good. All right, good. Great. Yeah.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about heart disease, a new study showing that in young adults, no, they define young up to age 60, good for them, after they've had a heart attack, 59% of women, 46% of men experience sexual dysfunction. Now, you know by listening to this show that we consider a healthy sex drive and the capacity to perform sexually as a critical sign of youthful vitality and anti-aging. What you do with it is your prerogative. That you have the ability to perform is a sign of life. And if it's not there, it deserves scrutiny. So one of the sad things about the stat, Shannon, was that not only was there such a high incidence of sexual dysfunction, loss of sexual interest, loss of erectile function, loss of capacity for climax. Not only there was such a high incidence of it, but so few of these patients share that with their doctor. I believe it's a signal that they don't perceive doctors being as caring about that. There's also what I call, again, the self-fulfilling prophecies of, well, you know, I'm 58, I've got some heart disease, maybe that phase of my life has passed me by. And I've heard people say, you know, how long should I expect to be able to maintain my sexual vitality? And I've heard people say, gee, doctor, I feel great on these hormones and these other things you're giving me, how long should I stay on them? The answer to both questions is unto your death. You should not surrender vitality in any capacity. You should not bow to age. In fact, if your doctor or anybody else tells you, well, of course, fill in the blank, you're feeling that symptom because you're getting older, well, run to the next opinion. Call us instantly. That is a intellectual medicine emergency, 911. We should have that, Shan. You dial 911, we'll have an ambulance bring you to our center where we can help and intervene. The reason is if you perceive something as being a consequence of chronologic aging, you have surrendered. There's nothing you can do about getting older. That's the good part. The good part is celebrating another year on the planet. Everything else should be addressed as a modifiable event. Loss of energy, loss of vitality, and now we're talking about post-MI, heart disease, loss of sexual vitality. That's an area in which we like to focus our efforts to restore and maintain that vitality. And just as a heart event or cardiac disease can cause loss of vitality, a loss of vitality can be a symptom of early onset heart disease. And if you've lost your sexual interest, if you've lost your climatic or your erectile function, it deserves a cardiac, or I should say a vascular evaluation. And that goes way beyond doing an EKG. So we want to maintain sexual vitality. We want to maintain muscle mass. There was another study looking at another concern we had, a patient who came to see me, said, well, what about cancer? Well, we know, based upon the best science available, that hormone replacement therapy done properly does not have to increase your risk of cancer at all. And in many cases, it can decrease that risk. With regard to men and prostate cancer, there is a correlation between low levels of testosterone and an increased rate of prostate cancer. There is no correlation yet arrived at between replacing testosterone to a healthy level and increasing the prostate cancer risk. Now, at our center, we do more than testosterone replacement because we know that's not enough to keep you vital. Unfortunately, replacing testosterone does not unto itself restore erectile function, and unto itself does not extend lifespan. It's a critical piece of the puzzle. But you must address arterial health at the same time, and you must address the supplements that are known to preserve blood flow, because that's the cornerstone of, well, longevity. A recent study I thought was very interesting. The question then arises, how do you screen for prostate cancer? All right, can I tell you now, let's stop doing prostate exams. The finger up the butt has never helped anybody. God. It is an absolutely useless 1990s custom that has no value in screening for cancer and can cause harm. It can cause harm because you will have a false impression and you will therefore refer people for biopsy. You absolutely don't need to have it done. I remember in the early days, I'm doing this exam, I couldn't feel a damn thing. And the patient would say, well, how is my prostate? It seems okay. Right? I was examining prostates through that mechanism for 20 years before I began to really scrutinize that practice and found that the research did not support it. Patients don't like it. It has no value. So let's just stop doing it. In fact, if your doctor wants to do that exam, just tell him, doc, that's okay, I'll pass. He or she will gladly skip that part of the exam, and you are not depriving yourself of any value. What about the PSA test, prostate-specific antigen? That is a blood test that is used to help screen for prostate cancer. There's a problem with it. It doesn't really accurately reflect the risk. There are some parameters that can help, and here's one. If you're a man, only men have prostates. If you're, it was kind of a dumb prelude. Anyhow, if you have a PSA less than 0.9 in your middle age years, defined as less than age 60. So let's imagine you're 55, your PSA is 0.7. That is a profoundly positive sign regarding lifetime risk. Your risk of developing death through prostate cancer is like 0.3%. At that level. If it's above 2.1, the risk goes up to 3.7%. Now, those correlations still represent a low percentage point. It doesn't mean that either one is predictive that you'll get cancer, nor absolutely protective that you won't. We know, based on studies, that 80% of men eventually will acquire prostate cancer. They did a study looking at cadavers, and after people had died, they examined prostates. They had died for other reasons, but what they found was that 80% of them had prostate cancer. It means that in most cases, prostate cancer lies quietly in the gland and never bothers you. I have a patient in the practice. He is now 63. When he was 49, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, biopsy proven. And he said, I do not want them to take my prostate out. I do not want treatment for this. I value my erections and my urinary control. And he had a young wife. He still has a young wife. And he never got conventional treatment. And he's been using a macro nutritional approach with supplements. His latest biopsy, no cancer. 14 years later. So we're talking about how to live healthy, how to avoid and prevent cancer. We're going to pick this up on the other side, folks. Stay tuned. I'm Dr. Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine.
Now, back to Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pederuti. Call in now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
All right. Hey, gang, I am back. It's Dr. Pederuti. I'm here with Shannon, Nick behind the glass. Having a good time this morning, a wide-ranging conversation. So just completing my thoughts on the prostate-specific antigen test, you know, we were talking about its merit and its limitations. If you have an elevated PSA, it does not mean you have prostate cancer. Other things can make it go up, including having had sex the night before, having an inflammation of the prostate, excessive exercise can all alter that number. In general, you shouldn't have the number done more frequently than once per year. Otherwise, it becomes difficult to interpret. So the take-home message is, when it comes to hormone replacement, properly done, the cancer risk does not go up, and there's evidence it can go down. Especially for women, there's a correlation between doing bioidentical hormones and a decrease in colon and ovarian cancer, as well as endometrial cancer. And for those of you who missed it, tune in to our podcast, Julie Naret. Am I saying it correctly? Julie. Julie was on, and last week we did a rerun, did a fantastic job eloquently describing her experience losing 50 pounds and restoring her youthful vitality through the combination of weight management, hormone replacement. And there's a tie-in here. If you are a non-smoker, your number one risk for cancer, if you happen to be above weight, is excess body weight. Excess adiposity increases your risk of everything, but specifically will increase cancer risk. Why is not exactly known, but some of it may have to do with what are known as cytokines. These are inflammatory enzymes that are released from fat cells. They act like little pieces of sandpaper corroding individual cells on a microscopic level. Cytokines increase as fat cells increase. Many of our patients, when they start in their weight loss treatment, experience chronic fatigue, low-grade muscle aching. These symptoms do tend to evaporate with treatment. Now, just I love, of course, highlighting the truth regarding gastric bypass. We know that this abomination of a surgery, this gut-altering fillet that they do in order to treat obesity, is done because of an ignorance and an incapacity to treat it adequately on the part of the bulk of medicine. We have solved that problem at Intellectual Medicine, and I'll give you some statistics to back up what I just said. Number one, our death rate is, what is it?
Zero.
Zero. Nobody's died yet in our treatment. The bypass surgeons can't say that. Our regain rate approaches zero. In our maintenance pathway, 80% of our patients continue to lose weight. The other 20% either don't gain it or have negligible regain. Now, here's from the gastric bypass literature itself. 10 years after sleeve gastrectomy, the average weight loss was 18%. At our center, for the same cohort, that is folks with the same weight, our average weight loss is between 21 and 34%, a little bit higher for men than women. That beats surgery, folks. without a knife. The difference is the application of intellectual principles to the metabolic neurochemical disorder known as adiposity. To treat this like a behavioral deficit, a lack of discipline, is to invite failure. So using a combination of pharmacology and nutraceuticals with nutritional behavioral change, we can turn that tide, and that is one of the foundation pieces of intellectual medicine and life extension. Coming up on break, Nick. Nick's signaling behind the glass. All right, buddy. Well, this is Intellectual Medicine. I am Dr. Pedroni here with Shannon. We'll see you back after this break. All right. I am back. Intellectual Medicine. Nick, you're on the ball today. The first concert I ever went to in my life was Sly and the Family Stone. I was in high school. We took the bus from East Greenwich to Providence. Man, I thought I was going to Manhattan. I was so excited. Sitting there watching Sly and the Family Stone come on out. He was warmed up by the New York Dolls. I have no idea why I remember that. First concert. Do you remember Sly and the Family Stone, Shannon?
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh, you're missing a treat. All right, anyhow. Ah, the golden era, Nick. Shame you weren't there to see it. You should have seen the Atlantic Ocean back then, Nick. It was really something. anybody remembers that line? That was a great line in the movie. What movie was that from?
No,
Burt Lancaster.
Oh.
Anyhow, we digress yet again. I only got a little bit of time, so we're kind of wrapping things up. It was a wonderful day. We conversed about gonorrhea resistance and the need to avoid antibiotics. Ask your doctor, do I really, really need that antibiotic? Consider the high-dose intravenous vitamin C at our center when you have an infectious illness. We talked about the connection between heart attacks, heart disease, and sexual dysfunction, and the need to maintain sexual vitality for youth and health. We talked about the dangers of gastric bypass, the limits of its merit, and the alternatives to get it treated correctly with a balanced approach that we offer. And we talked about screening for prostate cancer and the fact that bioidentical hormone replacement is known not to cause increased risk. So as we're wrapping up, I want to thank Providence Auto Body. Shan, they did a beautiful job fixing our car. Those guys are awesome. And we don't get paid to say anything about anybody. And Tony DeJesus is coming up with a Big Blue Bug Solutions. He takes care of our house.
He does?
He does. And I need him to exterminate our car because there was a mouse in our car. They found the mouse. Providence Auto Body. All right, folks, this is WPRO. I am Dr. Steve Pedroni with Shannon. Thanks, Nick. We'll see you all next week.
Evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can.
WEAN FM Wakefield Peacedale. News, traffic, and weather from the Seascape News Center begins now on WPRO.